As we continue in our topical series, I want to look at the topic of slavery and tyranny, but look at the relationship between the two that might not be what you're expecting, in the sense that you usually expect there to be slavery where a tyrant rises up, but I mean, what order do those things come about? In 1926, Gresham Machen spoke to the House and Senate committees about the proposed Federal Department of Education. Machen was obviously vehemently opposed to the creation of the federal control over education. It was to this committee that Machen said, and I quote, "Uniformity in education under central control, it seems to me, is the worst fate into which any country can fall." End of quote. So he's saying that to the Senate. Congress, I mean, the committee. He said, "When it comes to the training of human beings, you have to be a great deal more careful about the preservation of the right of individual liberty and the principle of individual responsibility. And I think we ought to be plain about this, that unless we preserve the principles of liberty in this department, there is no use in trying to preserve them anywhere else. If you give the bureaucrats the children, you might as well give them everything else as well. So that it does seem to me we are dealing with the most important part of human life when we are dealing with education." And he continued and said, "I think we are having today a very marked intellectual as well as moral decline through the gradual extension of this principle of standardization in education. People are ready to admit to some extent that there's a sort of moral decline. But what is not always observed is that there is a terrible intellectual decline, and that intellectual decline comes through the development of this principle of unification and standardization to which I object." End of quote. That's taken from the book Education, Christianity and the State. A very enlightening read to get an idea of Machen's understanding of God's word as it applies to every area of life. It's not strange that I start to talk about the relationship between slavery and tyranny by referring to Machen's opposition to the federal control of education. In the same speech, Machen mentioned the disastrous effects in some of the Greek states of trying to implement the centralized control of education in accordance with Plato's Republic, his famous book on government and ruling. And he points out the disasters that this was. He also mentions that the same mindset in Germany, which is leading it now to World War II, and also mentions the disastrous effect of such control in the Soviet Union. So in that same speech to Congress, he mentions these tyrannical things that developed, and he traces them back to this centralized and control. Centralized control over education is key to tyranny. And the reason it is key to tyranny is because tyrants can only rise up upon the backs of people who have embraced the slave mentality, which is the goal of centralized education. You become slaves in your thinking or in your inability to think. And that's the control, and that's what it produces. Tyranny doesn't just fall out of the sky in a moment and engulf a nation. It doesn't just fall out there without warning and say, "Wow, where did this come from?" I mean, some people might be saying that. But there's a long path and a road toward that point. For tyrants to do their thing, they need a people with a certain mindset. If a people don't have this mindset, they have to be educated into that mindset. And so you can see the circle, its connection between tyranny, slavery, and education. They're feeding and needing one another. When people find themselves under tyrannical rule, they need to realize that tyrants can only exploit the ignorant and the irresponsible. That is, those who readily embrace the slave mentality. And so to merely kick a tyrant out of power without acknowledging the root of the problem is asking to be exploited again. Political and economic slavery is merely an outward manifestation of an inward reality. Those who are slaves in their thinking will end up in physical slavery. And you are first a slave in your thinking before you become an actual slave physically. The mindset precedes the actual condition. Unless a people's thinking is changed, there's no guarantee that their new leaders, who are usually seen as saviors, are not going to imbibe the same circle of exploitation again. The roots of slavery are spiritual. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, according to John 8:34. And sin is walking in violation of God's truth, of God's law, as 1 John 3 and verse 4 put it. The foundation for true freedom and liberty is obedience to Christ and all that he has revealed, everything about redemption and salvation, as well as every word that he has revealed about all of life. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," John 8, 31 and 32. Christ came to bring liberty. Liberty to assume our responsibilities under him. For liberty is a way of life. It's of how you live. For liberty is not a commodity you attain. Liberty is a way that we live. And that's why kingdom living is the way of liberty. Those with a slave mentality don't want this freedom. What they want is guaranteed security without risks. They fear the unknown. They do not like personal responsibility. They're not fond of maturity. And they don't want accountability. Yet they crave the security and the cradle-to-grave protection and that sense of well-being. And so they look for that outside of God, and the place they usually seek it is in the civil realm with respect to those who are in authority. The only way the state can provide this kind of security is if they enslave their citizens. And the more that they are asked to do, the greater their control must be, and therefore the greater the slavery. Slavery is a hope embraced by the immature who fantasize about a particular lifestyle. You could have all of that. It's an expectation and a demand for that security. So even our whole development of the medical Obamacare thing is people who are afraid of the future and do not want to assume their own responsibility in order to provide for their medical needs. And so they say, "We'll give you more power and more authority in order to secure our future and make sure that we have the comprehensive, absolute medication that we need. So we give you all the power to make the decisions about our lives." And the tyrant is saying, "Thanks very much. I really don't care much about you. It's always been my agenda." When people within a nation reject the claims of God upon them and refuse his lordship over their lives, they open themselves up to the lordship of the centralized power. Those with a slave mentality despise Christ and his wisdom more than they despise slavery to men. And they're prepared to endure all kinds of oppression, theft and abuse from their leaders while assuming and assuring themselves that what they have is real freedom. This is good. This is worth living for. We see this clearly illustrated in the experience of Samson when he told the men of Judah why he was fighting against the Philistines. He said, "As they did to me, I did to them," in Judges 15:11. Samson was a judge who had been raised up by God to deal with the oppression of the Philistines and to measure out God's justice. Justice, however, meant nothing to the men of Judah. All that concerned them was maintaining a comfort level that they had become accustomed to as slaves. We had reached a certain level, we liked this level, and we're going to maintain this at any cost. Samson's desire to marry a Philistine woman, as we've seen before, and the whole riddle that he posed and the slaying of the 30 Philistines to pay for the bet, was God working to deliver his people from oppression. And things escalated until the Philistines murdered Samson's wife and her family, and he responded and burnt their crops, and then they chased him, and then he killed a lot, and he ran down into this rock in Etam, which was in the area of the tribe of Judah. And so they went after him and they invaded Judah to capture Samson. And so Judah now responds to the Philistines' invasion and says, "Samson, give yourself up." Now Judah, at the beginning of Judges, is the tribe that leads God's forces into war. They're the leaders. Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 15, the tribe is handing up the innocent to the guilty and evading and escaping from God's battles. All they were interested in was not disturbing their present circumstances. In Hebrew, the words for justice and righteousness are the same. Thus, to be unconcerned for justice is the same as being unconcerned for righteousness. To seek justice means not only making sure that we act justly ourselves, but also that we actively pursue justice around us. Justice is defined by God. The prophets of God constantly called the nation of Israel back to this standard. And Isaiah told the people of his day that God condemned them because None called for justice or pleaded for truth, Isaiah 59:4. That nobody cares about justice. The reason people don't lift their voices and cry out for justice and seek to make sure justice prevails is because they have a slave mentality. They're bought into a mindset that does not believe justice is possible, does not believe that there is a standard for justice, something like that, but that's a slave mindset. The slave mentality is not interested in justice. It doesn't care about what happens to others. They're only interested in preserving themselves, as Judah is doing here. They're not saying, well, what about the nation? What is God's purpose in this? What is our responsibility according to God's word, according to our history? I mean, we don't have to look back far in our own personal history to see what our responsibility is. Free people are concerned about the rights of others and the principles of justice. Now, the men of Judah said to Samson, what have you done to us? Samson, look around us. The Philistines are banging down our doors here. Why have you done this to us? Your actions, Samson, are threatening our slave comforts. We're living in slavery, we like the standard, and what you're doing now is unsettling that. They were slaves to the Philistines, to which they readily admit, and they accuse Samson of not acting in line with this reality. Samson, they say, they are the rulers over us. In other words, don't rock the boat, for we are happy with our condition, and we don't want to be disturbed. Now, Samson in their eyes was the troublemaker. He wasn't God's deliverer. These people in Judah didn't want to assume their responsibilities and join with Samson and the Lord and stand for justice. They preferred slavery to the risky road of liberty and freedom. The same thing happened to Moses when he came to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. There's always turbulence when you stand for justice against injustice and tyranny. And it is this turbulence that slaves don't want. The slave mindset doesn't like that. They don't necessarily want their slavery, however, they prefer slavery to the thought of walking that turbulent path that is basically the only way out of slavery. When Moses told Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go, Pharaoh increased the burden upon the Israelites. And this extra burden and this turbulence and disturbing of their lives angered the Israelites, who condemned Moses for what he was doing. He said, why have you brought this on us? What are you trying to do? It's in Exodus 5, you can read about that. The leaders of Israel in Moses' time and the leaders of Judah in Samson's time were not interested in the fact that these great men were fighting for them and fighting for justice and being used by God, being God's vessel who was sent to deliver them from their tyranny. They did not recognize it, their minds didn't understand it, they couldn't see the connection, and so they remained in their slavery. Rejected the deliverer. Samson was rejected, Moses was rejected. And so when the leaders of Judah said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? It wasn't because they thought Samson was ignorant of this fact. Their words were intended as a rebuke for rocking the boat. They were telling him that he ought to submit to them, even if it was wicked and tyrannical. The slave mentality ignores the fact that the leaders or the government is meant to be God's servant to the people and is therefore accountable to both God and them. These people from Judah, however, would rather ignore justice and support the Philistines against Samson and against God's will. And believing that Samson's fight against tyranny and wickedness threatened their comforts and security, and so they handed Samson over to the Philistines. So they gave the innocent to the guilty in order to preserve their existence as slaves. That's what we want to preserve and maintain. Slaves reject true freedom, and despite the burden of responsibility that goes with maintaining freedom, they don't want that. There is a burden to maintain it. There is a responsibility to pursue it. Rather than repent and receive God's forgiveness and the liberty and to live by every word from God's mouth, the slave mentality prefers to live according to man's wisdom and, if anything, just complain about oppression. Those who desire true freedom must identify and reject slavery in all its forms, and this means embracing God's wisdom for all of life. It was because Moses wasn't afraid of the king's anger that he was able to obey God and confront the king. As Hebrews 11:27 says, fear of man brings a snare. Immaturity and fearing corrupt leaders is the root of slavery, and it is the source of tyranny. It's how tyrants attain and maintain their positions. Leaders who become tyrants mock the limitations placed upon them by God and seek to be like God. And they do this by assuming that they have the responsibility and the authority to control all aspects of life. Tyranny needs slaves and breeds slaves so that it might establish itself upon their greed, ignorance, and irresponsibility. The tyrant promises the ignorant, greedy person a way of life without the burden of responsibility. However, in order to supply such security, they need to grant, the people need to grant the leader total control over them. And when people in a nation walk in violation of God's truth and allow their rulers to disregard the boundaries and the standards that God has set for them, then you have tyranny and slavery. I think we often don't recognize that because we're not quite sure what slavery looks like. People either seek their security and dependence from the Lord or from men. And if from men, that usually means from the centralized power or leader, whether it's a king or whether it's a multi-governmental body. All areas of life, and thus all ideas about life, have to be brought into subjection to Jesus Christ. And this includes governments. When governments go beyond their God-ordained boundaries or refuse to fulfill their God-given responsibilities, they are defying God. When God's people, however, reject God's standard for themselves as the ultimate comprehensive standard, or they reject that standard for the government or for every area of life, then that body, Christ's people, they fail to be the salt and the light that they ought to be. And thus, they will experience the consequences of their disobedience and the Lord's chastisement through his judgment upon the flourishing wicked. They will be caught up in that same turmoil that comes when he judges wickedness. Freedom is found in Christ and his word, and is maintained only by eternal vigilance. We are not to accept the excuses offered by politicians or even church leaders as to why the violations of God's word in a particular area are necessary and acceptable in our days. Why would this be acceptable? Well, we have, the church offers a different reason, why the state offers a reason. But they offer reasons as to why it is acceptable. The prophets of old exposed such nonsense for what it was, sin and rebellion. Many within the church have been silent because they don't believe God has given a comprehensive word for all of life. So if you don't have a comprehensive word, you have nothing to say. God is not interested in those areas, and so we are not responsible before God to address those areas. Even though Israel was set free from the physical slavery in Egypt when God delivered them out of that nation after many, many years of slavery, they were still slaves in their minds and couldn't cope with the responsibility of liberty. The slow, difficult path of liberty was too much for them, and so they looked back with great longing to the old days of security in Egypt as slaves, which was far more attractive to them than freedom under God. We can laugh at that and we can be shocked by that, but I think that is a natural tendency of the human heart, is to look back to that slave. We see it over and over again, even with kidnap victims or wives that are beaten by their husbands. Their security is often looking back to the one that treated them in such a way. And so that whole generation that came out of Egypt had to die before the nation could begin walking in the liberty that God intended for his people. The church's willful ignorance of God's comprehensive word, and thus ignorance about the extent of his kingdom work in our day, is the breeding ground of slavery. And it is the Siamese twin of tyranny. And so as we see ourselves and our own nation moving more and more towards tyranny, we need to understand why that is so. It's not just because that's how life is meant to unfold. There's direct connection back. Throughout Scripture shows us over and over again, the connection is between forsaking God's word for every area of life that breeds slavery through tyranny. And our education, our understanding of God's comprehensive truth and how that applies, when that is neglected, we are going to adopt and be imbibed by the slave mentality, because the slave mentality is merely looking around their immediate circumstances, and as soon as they find a level that is kind of comfortable, they don't want to change that. They don't want to risk it for anything. And so the people sacrificed Christ in order to preserve their slavery under Rome. Acknowledged they were slaves. There's no difference between what Judas said to Samson about the Philistines ruling over them and what the religious leaders said to Christ and in their own discussions about what they should do with Christ, and in order to preserve themselves and their pathetic existence under Roman oppression, they said, let's kill this man. And so that's the slave mentality. And so the Lord, we need to be prayerful that the Lord would preserve us from getting into that slave mindset and rather give us a broader and fuller understanding. Obviously, this is just a foundation. Practicalities and details become complex, but they're not impossible to attain and arrive at. So I hope that was helpful in at least understanding the connection between slavery and tyranny and education, because the path in our nation has followed that same thing. If you think about Machen crying out in 1926, this is horrific. This is the worst possible thing that could ever befall a nation. And he's talking about invasions and all kinds of stuff. He said, this is the worst thing. And why? Because he knew the consequences. He saw where it would lead to, and where he said this will lead to is exactly the place it has led to. And we are there. We are reaping the fruit of what he said was going to happen. He said the morality is going to decline. He said that the standard is going to decline as well, and the standard of intellectual instruction by the standardization of education will mean a decline in morality as well. It means a decline in everything. And once you've got that decline, tyranny moves in and takes over. So it was an incredibly prophetic in the true sense of the term, by looking at scripture and realizing the implications on life that Machen saw. And so he's a bastion of a Christian giant mind and intellect.